be part of my message this morning, Romans 12:11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And in Proverbs 23, verse 4 and 5, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thy eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven. All right. Father in heaven, thank you for an opportunity to open up your word and look at some scriptures here and some ideas and thoughts and principles that, Lord, I hope would help some folks out today. I pray, Lord, just be able to settle down things and be able to minister accordingly. What was said and done, I pray and ask would be glorifying to you. Help me out this morning. In the Lord Jesus Christ's name, amen. Okay, I'm going to come back to these scriptures. I have kind of a little unusual message today. You know, I'm a little unusual. You know, Bible call says peculiar. I'm a little peculiar. It's a Bible word, amen? Amen? So I'll take that word. The scripture is completely true. And when we study the words, they give us principles that when we believe, there's the faith and applied. I'm big on application. People know me. Will help in our personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. These truths will also help us in the day-to-day life decisions. When the Lord knows we are trying to live according to His words to please Him, we have great fellowship with the Lord. Amen? 1 John 4, 1-7 says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." So obviously the most important thing besides salvation, obviously, a believer can have is their personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, without a doubt. You know, sometimes people that just walk with the Lord, in a few minutes you can tell they walk with the Lord. And that's what we all want, a closer walk to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes this works backwards. We as believers go through life, a trial, a blessing, and find that the experience, whether good or bad, are principles that are found in scriptures, right? I mean, we all grow. A lot of times, you know, I got to say a little later in life, but you know what? As things happen in life, I read the Bible, I go, wait a minute, that's a biblical principle, right? And either, wow, that's why that worked out, or man, that's a bad deal, and you find it in scripture, you know what? And that's why it didn't work out. So that's the whole idea. Sometimes your experience align with scripture, and then it works, things just kind of come into play, and then it becomes absolute truth. You know, when it comes to learning things, you know, especially bad things, best thing is to learn from the bad examples in scripture, from other people, but not from yourself. A lot of times, when we go through some situations, we kind of grow there in the value. Example of being yoked with an unbeliever, that's a kind of, you see that sometimes when we do some things with some unbelievers and they don't work out. Like, yeah, it's a principle of the Bible about being yoked to an unbeliever. I got saved out of the liquor industry. And so that was got saved and I saw the tremendous problems in the liquor industry and all the trouble, that's an easy thing for me to get away from. Some people may have had trouble with alcohol in the past. I was in the business of it. I never became an alcoholic. But you see, the troubles there's no question of me. That's clear in scripture. I can quote every scripture on liquor and wine and the vices, because I've seen it in the lives of being in the industry for literally 5 years. My folks didn't get saved later in life, but they try to teach me principles, about character and being honest and avoiding debt. And a lot of those are biblical principles. And a lot of times people, even unsaved people, can live by principles and they're scriptural. And they even know they're biblical, but they work out. Because the word of God, you know, does work. And it does, whether it's some natural laws, whether you're saved or lost. The natural law of reaping and sowing apply to what lost and saved people. You have two farmers, a saved farmer and an unsaved farmer, and they both plant corn, and rain waters it, and it grows, and they harvest. Hey, they plant corn, and what happened they get later? They reap more corn, and would do it, reap it later. Simple law of reaping and sowing. You get that, right? So whether you're saved or lost, obviously, whatever you do, you want to do for the glory of God. So that's a principle there. As a young person here, and some of the young folks I see here, I kind of envy a little bit because I didn't get saved till I was 25. And between the ages of maybe 12, 13, Mike knows, 14 years old, and 25, I did some things, seen some things that I'm really proud of. Amen, you know? And so if you're saved in a young age, you got safe parents, good doctrine, man, you know what though? Don't take that for granted. You're a person that literally better walk right. In Luke 12, 48, it says, For unto whomsoever much is given, of him much shall be required. And to him whom men have committed much, to him they must ask more. There's a principle there. And the context, I believe, could be the servants at judgment seat of Christ. So if you're given a lot of information, a lot of truth, you ought to take that for granted. Take heed, young people. Very important. Now, the path to success, honestly, is not a complicated one. It's not filled with turns and detours. It's a direction. And take that, obviously, for salvation. It's Jesus Christ meeting sinner. He's the way, the truth, life. You all know that, right? Amen. It's a simple direction. People obviously complicate that issue with, you name it, religions and ism and schism and so forth. And that's real quickly. Obviously, you know what? That also applies to principles of, that I mentioned above about character and family and parental giving. It's a direction, a simple direction found in Jesus Christ and his words. Get that? It's really that simple. I mean, I'm a senior, got gray hair. It's really simple. Things complicate things, and there's obstacles come along the way. We want to make sure we're kind of on that narrow path. Now, we as believers have responsibility, duty, stewardship, preparation, and accountability. You know, think about that. If you're an unsaved person or unsaved person, hey, that's a, live all life you can, get all the gusto you have, make all the money you have. Your heaven here is on earth. Think about it. But think about that. Once you're saved, yeah, that was all God's part. Amen. But we got a lot of responsibility, a lot of things to do. And you think about it, that's the seriousness of the scripture and what we have. It's our duty. So the business of the king is endless. And finding out what that business should be makes our walk and fellowship more profitable, enjoyable, and working towards the perfect will of God. Remember in Romans 12, 1, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Find the perfect will of God. You know, that's the Lord's leading and you paying real close to his word. You do something that's good and acceptable, but the perfect will of God, there you go. Now, that's just the introduction to my message, okay? So I want to lay a little foundation there. And I think you would all hopefully would agree to that. So let me get to the core of my message. There is lots of occupations and crafts in scripture, and you can learn from folks that have done things for a long time. If I talk to the Hoffmans about farming, they can tell me something about farming. Talk to Lloyd about raising cows, he tell me things about raising cows. Brother Mike about painting, you know, he probably tell me things about painting, all things. So whatever your craft is, you can learn some things, and a lot of times some things are biblical, and you apply the principles, you're better at your craft. You get that, you know. God wants Christian painters, Christians, lawyers, Christians, whatever. I mean, we all can't be preaching. God puts you in your life so you can minister to things. Now, saying that, there are many biblical lessons found in responsibilities. My message and sermon this morning is to tell you some things that I've learned through my life and experience that hopefully help you out. Folks, I want to help you. You know, when Pastor Hoffman asked me to, hey, we want to bring a message, within a few minutes, I had some idea. I said, well, that's probably the Lord, because, so what can I do to help some folks out? I mean, don't you want to help somebody out, right? You know, joy is Jesus, others, yourself, right? When you're lost, it's me, myself, and I, right? But it's Jesus, others, yourself. Okay, so at 25, I was saved, And my personality, kind of independent personality. You know, when a lot of people do these tests, when you get work, and they kind of take your personality, and someone that's very, maybe an extrovert should be in the front line. They should be back somewhere else. You know, your personality, God gave you personality and things you should do, things that kind of fit your personality. I'm obviously a little bit of a trailblazer. You probably know, very independent. And I know when I got saved, I always wanted to brag on the Lord Jesus Christ. So I knew when I worked for the corporate world for many years, I tried to witness. Maybe I shouldn't have been doing it all the time, but like, you know, I'm working for someone else for paying me. I'm kind of doing things for the Lord. And, you know, the Lord knew me early on in that thing, but so I always wanted to be independent. That's just my personality. And one thing I wanted to do is I wanted to keep my wife at home. And so what I'm looking for is maybe I had a good job, but I'm looking for something to make money part-time to keep my wife at home. A good biblical thing, keep your wife at home if you all possibly can. It's harder today than it was in the 80s and 90s. You know, I mean, it's getting designed that way. And a friend of mine, or someone called me in, and a guy named Ken Schmicke, and he recruited me back in the 80s, late 80s, into the financial service industry, showed me a concept called buy term, vest difference. I go, wow, that's an I concept. That's a great idea. And if I can make $500 a week with a good concept, keep the wife at home, that's great. And I was a young believer back then, how the Lord led, and he showed me the concept. I said, I'll work that part-time for you. And I was a newly saved person, so I just bragged on the Lord Jesus Christ to Ken Schmicke. I didn't even really know how to witness somebody. I only saved probably a few months. I just love the Lord. Remember the zeal you had when you first got saved, especially an older guy. I knew I'm going to hell, and all I knew was, I'm not going to hell. I'm saved. Glory to God. And I told him I got saved in my car. I got saved in my car while driving home from a disco, you know. That's all I knew. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. And I didn't know that, but he's on a conviction. And what Ken did is, when he got off my house like 11:30 at night, he drove around the corner, pulled the car over, put the car in the park, and goes, hey, Lord, if you save Tim Duma in this car, you got to save me. And the Lord saved him. The Lord could, you know, see, the Lord just, it's not that he done prayer, but he was serious. Hey, if you saved him, and in fact, he got home, he told me he got home, he woke his wife up and goes, I got saved. What, from an accident? No, from hell. That's what you get saved from, folks, from hell. You realize that. That's an appreciation you have. You get that, you know. So he kind of led me into financial service industry. And you know what's interesting is, I want to do a good job for the Lord. Able to witness, I was doing it part-time. Finally got into full-time. And I finally got a real good client in Chicago. The business is still around today. And they trusted me. And the father and his wife and his kids went to Mexico. And they got into a car accident. And he died. And the daughter died. They lived in Chicago. I live in Illinois, and in Chicago, there's counties in Chicago. I don't know what county you live here. And Chicago County is called Cook County. We call it Crook County, okay? And people know in Chicago I'm talking about. And what happened is they went through the probate progress because he only had assets in his name and his daughter's name. And it took a year and a half. I go, wow, what a terrible thing that they're going through this process with the courts and lawyers and all that stuff. That's terrible. And so I found out about wills and trusts and all that. I go, boy, that's a nice thing. You know, I want to help my clients out, do something that was you know, help people out. And so what I did is I went to a lawyer in Wheaton, Illinois, which is our county seat. And I go, hey, you know what though? Will you do trust for me? Because they're way better than will or nothing at all. And the guy looks at me and he goes, come here, punk. He didn't call me punk, but I'm reading between the lines. And he goes, see over here, these are file cabinets of wills. And he said, that's my retirement. You see, he wanted to do a craft that was ultimately bad. He makes some dough. Young people, that's not how you get in business. Don't look, well, how much money is it? Do something that you can, that the Lord leads you, that is a good thing to do. You can glorify the Lord. You know, how much does it pay? It's probably not the right job for you. I mean, the money will come if you just do the right thing. Get that, folks? So he pointed to that thing. I go, what a dirty dog. Man, I think White calls them shysters. Is that a good word for, he uses, whatever, you know? So, hey, that wasn't a good thing at all. So I use that word, I'm real careful of the word, by providence. The Lord, the next person I saw was a lady who's still my partner today. We prayed for her today, a female lawyer. And when I saw her, she goes, what a coincidence. This is my last day working for a company. I'm going to start my own business starting Monday. See me on Monday. And so me and her literally started a estate planning a firm. We're able to help people out. Now, let me show you some principles here from Scripture, show you how I learned some things in life that hopefully maybe will help you out. Some basic scriptures on how inheritance and estate planning came about. They're found, there's no formal written commandment concerning inheritance before the law of Moses. Common practice in the Old Testament was that the patriarchs would just give their possessions to the firstborn. That's just the way Old Testament was. For example, the account of Ishmael was cast out because of Isaac. You know, remember? And by the way, that division is still going on today with the Muslims and Israel, still fighting over it. Talk about 2-year probate fight, 1,000 years still fighting over that matter. Kind of interesting, you know, a division, you know, going on today. Esau was charged as a profane person. That's found in Hebrews, because he sold his a birthright to Jacob for a morsel of meat. Joseph was given the blessing rather than Reuben for his father, by his father Jacob, even though he was was not the firstborn, Genesis 48. The patriarchs had many positions, but no lands. And therefore, the need for more sophisticated planning was not present until they entered the promised land, right? It's biblical. So they entered the promised land. At this point, more specific instructions was directed by Moses. What's interesting is the land, as Israel, as you know, was given and divided amongst people. And one of the first issues that was brought before Moses, you know what it was? Right here. Whether a daughter would inherit the lands of her father if they had no sons. The Lord's response was not common in Eastern nations. Let me read you Hebrews 27:6-11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, the daughters of Zelophehad speak right. Thou shalt surely give them the possession of inheritance among the fathers, brethren, and thou shalt cause the inheritance of their father to pass unto them. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a man die and have no son, they shall cause his inheritance to pass unto his daughter. And if they have no daughter, then they shall give the inheritance unto his brethren. And if they have no brethren, then they shall give his inheritance to his father's brethren. And if his father have no brethren, then he shall give the inheritance unto his kinsmen, unto the next of him of his family, and shall possess it. And it shall be unto the children of Israel a statute of judgment, as the Lord commanded Moses. So there's a clear plan under Old Testament that shows how these things go. This is the backdrop of law, kind of what happened in Ruth and the Moabites, you know. The answer of God on this issue, it was indicative that the Lord was vitally concerned about stewardship of inheritance of his people. That's Israel, okay? Now, the laws in our country are a little different than Israel, but we still have laws. But the principles and concerns are still the same, what the Lord has entrusted to us. This is similar practice today. If you get a legal document, you hear these words, per capita, per stirpes, right of reputation. Those are just like, hey, I'm going to leave things to my per capita. That's just your children. Per stirpes would mean not the children's spouse, but their bloodline. Per stirpes, they call that. So the same language today mimics some of the things that was in the scripture. The right representation is you don't have any family, but I'm going to name someone specifically. There is something we have in our documents. We call, a failure of descendants. You know what I call that? The rapture clause. If everyone's gone, then who do you give it to? I think about it. Hopefully our family are saved. Everyone goes up. What do you do with stuff? Well, I call that the rapture clause. So people name all kinds of things as well, because everyone has some relative. There's some nephews, nephews. So they a lot of people name, you know, charities or some organization. And this has only been used one time in our practice. And it's kind of a sad situation here, because I'll show you how you learn some things. I didn't do the document, but our office did. And the ladies that passed away, trustee came in. And what happened is, she had one daughter, and she disinherited her daughter for whatever reason. I don't know the reason. And then she named her daughter or her granddaughter for her assets. And then there's about $700,000-$800,000 of monies here. And what happened is this granddaughter who lived in Texas had a couple kids, married, and I think they went to a gambling event, you know, casino type thing in Texas, and left. She had two twin girls. She left them in the car, and it was hot, and one died. And the other one obviously lived, so what they did is they put them both in jail for 15 years, and then someone adopted out the daughter. And then their grandma died. And because they couldn't, there was no one left, and they had no other relatives, and they couldn't get money because of Texas law, they had this failure descendants. Went to Morton Arboretum, a bunch of trees. Probably honestly, imagine working your whole life, saving, having this lake, and a bunch of trees. That's sad. I mean, do a bunch of, I might drive by that place, it's right in Lyle. I'm like, someone bought $800,000 of trees. That's, I'm just showing you what happens, some of these things here. Now listen to this here. The land given to the land given no here. This First Kings 21:2-3. And Ahab spake unto Naab, saying, give me the vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good, I will give thee worth of it money. And Naab said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers to thee. He's following the Moses law of commandment there. We know what happened to Ahab and his wife, Jezebel. They conspired. They wrote some fake documents. Naam was stoned and he died. This, by the way, you know what they did? Ahab and his wife, they took the law under their own hands. Going on today, folks, right? We don't pay attention to what's going on in our country. Well, it's trumpet. Nothing ever changes in scripture. You can see it happening again. The book's alive. Okay, now, the Lord sent Elijah in 21:8-19. Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naab. The Lord still did his vineyard, even though he was dead. That's his. Get that? Whether he be gone down to possess it. And it shall speak on him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and had gotten taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in this place where dogs lick the blood of Nathan, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And what happened there? His killed, his wife killed. I mean, you know, obviously, the Lord is looking at this pretty serious. You can see that. A very serious God's response to these matters. In the Old Testament issue of safeguarding, possessing his people so they can pass their children. This is a good principle today. Now, under grace, we should take heed to be good stewards of our property and preparation what happens to it. Like I said in that first, and early on, we have responsibility, duty, stewardship, preparation, accountability. That's for believers, folks. So look here. Side note, that word money, Pastor Hoffman has a great study, if you watch on too, about money and all that. Have y'all seen it? Very, very, very good study on money. But in verse 2, scripture associates money with gold and silver. First mention of money is in Genesis 17:2. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man, child in your generations, he that is born in the house or bought with money. Obviously, they had servants. They paid money. They paid money for him of a stranger, which is not my seed. Now let's define what that money is here in 1 Chronicles 24:14. And when they had finished it, they brought the rest of the money before the king unto Jehoiada. Wherefore were made vessels of the house for the Lord, even vessels to minister and of offer withal, with spoons and vessels of gold and silver, and offered burnt offerings to the house of the Lord continually in the days of Jehoiada. So there you are associating gold and silver vessels in 2 Kings 12:13. Howbeit, there were not made for the house of the Lord bowls of silver and snuffers, brazen trumpets, and vessels of gold or vessels of silver of the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. So there's a universal thing, gold and silver is money. Now, what's interesting is, to how close we are, the blast off. Have you ever heard of the FedNow service? Y'all hear? You Google this thing here. Let me read you what they say. There's a system launching in July of 2023. It's around the corner, folks. Called Instant Payments with FedNow service. Right off the website, here it is. The FedNow service is just an instant payment infrastructure developed by the Federal Reserve, or our friends at the Federal Reserve. That's not federal, it's not a reserve. That allows financial institutions of every size across the U.S. to provide safe and efficient instant payment systems. Through financial institutions participating in the FedNow service, businesses and individuals can send and receive instant payments in real time, around the clock, every day of the year, 24/7. Financial institutions and their service providers can use the service to provide innovative instant payment services to our customers and recipients, and will have full access to funds immediately, allowing for, here's always a benefit, allowing for greater financial flexibility when making time-sensitive payments. The FedNow service will be developed in phases, with initial launch will take place in July of 2023. And for time's sake, they're going to be working, I don't have time to read it, they're working with the International Monetary System. You know, kind of, well, we use now gold and the currency and the country's currency, worthless, to be able to fund this thing. And who's in charge of that? United Nations, Washington, D.C. All bad people, folks. You can see things coming together to control people. You can understand that, folks. It's right around the corner. That's pretty exciting, in my personal opinion. Now, let's look at something more important than physical possessions, okay, and property. Let's look at the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, he's the firstborn of Mary. So remember, there's that firstborn Mary. We know that he had half-brothers. In Mark 6:3, it says, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother James, and Joseph, and Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So we know we had at least we had some brothers and at least two sisters. We find his mother at the wedding of Canaan, right? And we find her at the cross. The Lord performed several remarkable acts on the cross. And you know, one of them was an estate plan. I'm gonna read this to you. One of the Lord's seven sayings or utterances found when the Lord died, right? Look at John 19:26-27. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. When said he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. Get that, folks? Hey, you know what, though? According to John 7:5, neither of his brethren believed that time. Many times, folks, you know what? You have close relationships with believers than you do with your own family, amen? You get that? Some of your best people here. So God's saying, hey, under grace, maybe leave something to your family, but you know what, though? The family of God's more important. You get that? You see, sometimes the family of God, your brethren here, are always my sister or brother. Hey, who cares? Unsafe. So I see that more and more happening. God is telling you here that your, you know, the relationship with the Lord isn't more important. In my evaluation of this text, I see no other reason in Scripture for the actions and words of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see his mother was cared for the rest of her life by John. And by the way, John lived, what, about 90? Obviously, the Lord kept them alive long enough, right, to take care of his mother. You see that? That's real important, to take care of the family and friend there. Matter of fact, John was the only one at the Lord's Supper that said, who is it? All the disciples said, is it I? See, and there was that John, that personal relationship said, who is it? John had a very personal relationship with the Lord. The Lord has given us an example to care for our loved ones while they're alive. A practical application in good stewardship, take care of our family's needs both while they live and die. It's a principle there, guys, folks. See that there, you know? So there it is, Lord, and is dying, hey, take care of mom with another believer. It's a powerful, listen up, responsibility to have families and good friends and to care for them. That's a good thing there, right there. You know, world just wants to, just don't care for them. I've been directly involved in probably three or four thousand estate plans, and learned many things. A couple I want to give you here and show you some principles from the Bible. Proverbs 13:11, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. You know, wealth gotten by vanity, wealth that is not a result of honest industry and hard labor is seldom permanent. All fortunes acquired by speculation, lucky hits, ministering to the pride, luxury, or a lot of heiresses and others soon become dissipated. There are not many gotten in way of providence that has got a blessing on it, therefore not permanent. Here's a national statistic, and I see it. 90% of people that get inheritances, they're spent in 13 months. 50,000, 500 million, they spend it. Because that's the way it is. They just spend the thing. 9 months, 13 months. And we see this time and time again. To the 10% that do something good, Ecclesiastes 7:11. Wisdom from the Word of God is good with an inheritance, and by there is profits, and you'll see the sun. Proverbs 20:21. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Now, Bible on that. Remember the prodigal son in Luke 15? And the younger of them said unto his father, give me. Oh, that's the same thing Ahab said, right? Give me. Give me, give me, give me. Hear that word? Give me. Give me the portion of my goods that fall to me. And he divided unto him his living. Two verses later, probably 13 months, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land and began to want. Get it? There it is. In my experience, nothing ever changes. See that there, you know? I see this all the time. You know, kids want their stuff early. You know, they can't wait for mom and dad to die and want their stuff. I see it a lot of times happening. And the guy had a case where I called in from referral. I can't remember what it was. They were in the Splains, Illinois. And there was a man, and he didn't have anybody, living in a trailer, parking at something against trailers. And a friend of his befriended him, and they go, we want to do a document together. And the guy had some money, it's probably in the early 90s, about 500,000, chunk of change back in the 90s. And so, no problem, a friend of mine taking care of me. I have very little relatives up north. So we did document, made this guy, this kid, his name was Sam, no offense, Sam, the beneficiary. And so, a week later, I get a call from Sam's girlfriend. She was terrified. Tim, Sam is going to take out the client's name to Florida and to kill him. Going to kill him and have that money. He can't wait. Like, oh, man, you know, now that I know this year, I got to be real careful. So I went down to the Splains Police Department and I go, hey, man, I'm dressed well. And, you know, I go, hey, listen, man, let me tell you what happened. And I told him the story. He goes, we can't accuse someone. But what they did, they called me a week later. Tim, we went over to that guy's house, and they said, we put the fear of God in him. Anyway, we know what you're up to. I mean, I can't accuse someone, obviously, but he knew the situation. I said, put the ball in your court, so I have a clean conscience about it here, you know. And a week later, the client called me and changed some things. And I'm kind of glad, you know. But I'm showing you how people want this thing now. Now, Ecclesiastes 10:9. A feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. And I think that's a very interesting saying. That reminds me of a story of the $1 bill talking to the $100 bill. And the $1 bill says to the $100 bill, hey, where have you been? Oh, man, the finest restaurant, cruises, vacations, Europe, nice clothing stores. I've been all over. And the $100 bill says, $100 bill, hey, where you been? Same old thing, church. You get it, folks? So, I mean, money does answer all things. So again, this here. For it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, unsaved folks have more generally have a harder time trusting God because they can write a check for it. You get that, folks? A lot of problems you might have in your life, just write a check for it, it's gone. And so you're trusting in the riches. You get that, folks? I can write a check for most of my problems. I'll write a check for it, write a check for it, write a check for it. And that could be a problem. So let me illustrate you with a client named Jim. This is a real story, all true stories. I got called to go meet the guy. He's in Winnetka. Winnetka's a nice area, by the way, back in the early 90s. So I met my partner up there, Susan, and we're knocking on the door at 10 o'clock. Was to see his client for referral, knock on the door. No one's answering. We're knocking. I remember had the old cell phone. Called up his girlfriend that referred us. He's got to be there. He can't drive. So open the door up. And there's a guy's getting out of bed at 10 o'clock. All dog hair on him, cat hair on him. He's all messed up. Oh, yeah, come on in. You want some apple juice? He's pouring a drink for Susan. She's born a Baptist home, but naive. It's scotch. Well, that's not apple juice. That's scotch. He's a drunkard, you know? And this guy here, I don't know what he did. He was some kind of architect, but he patented some process and made a ton of money. So here he is in the 50s. He owned 10 homes. He couldn't drive because he was a drunk. He lost his license. He's opening his door, showing me all his cars, all fancy cars. You know, it's boom, boom, boom. He's smoking non-filtered cigarette, unsaved guy. And matter of fact, the whole time I known this Jim, only one time I talked to him sober. He talked to me one way, and then one time I called, who is this? It's Jim, he was sober. He was a drunk, and his little thing, listen up, young folks, was antiques. Some people have money, they always have some way of life they like. He liked collecting antiques, and he had nice ones. I don't really buy antiques, but he had this room full of antiques. He had a walk-in safe full of gold, man. Guy had some dough, and he wanted it. Matter of fact, one of the antiques he had was some kind of clock from France under a glass. That was one of a kind, made by hand, 1800. I understand. And he was going to give it to the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C. And one time he called me, he goes, hey, Tim, I don't want to give nothing to those dogs. And he says he went there, he says, and I don't know how many people watched this one movie called Raiders of the Lost Ark. If you did, shame on you. But anyways, in the last part of it, they go down in this basement, I guess, and all it is, as far as you can see, a bunch of boxes. That's what he said. They're going to put my clock, this 100,000-hour clock, whatever it's worth, in the basement. He didn't want to leave it there. He wanted to be able to see it. And this guy, he threw his mother out. No relationship with his mother. No relationship with his brother. I mean, his girlfriend of 20 years, they were apart. And I'd be careful. He had these parties, you know what I'm saying? But things we couldn't do, okay? Show me, try to point pictures. I don't want to see that. I try to witness to him. I gave him a Bible, some tracts. Very happy there. He had everything he wanted. He's miserable. He died in his 50s. You know why? Of cigarette smoking and alcohol. Some people blow their brains out like this. Some people do it one time at a time like this. And so he had, early on, everything people would like to have. All this stuff. But listen, young folks, that won't bring you happiness. And will not bring, in fact, they could curse you. They can be cursed there. And he died in his 50s. I have at home a copy of his estate check. Back then, the estate taxes were lower. It was so big, you could barely get it on the check. I mean, it was you know, seven-figure to IRS. I mean, thank you. The trustee, which is his girlfriend, he had all these properties or fire sale and get money. He had like bulldozers and backhoes and this thing. I mean, she was like, she literally almost had a heart attack trying to get rid of the stuff. Man, it was kind of a mess. But there you are seeing about this illustration here that don't make the mistake. For what profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Christians, don't seek after riches. I'm happy to work out with you, amen, but don't do that. I read you that first verse I read, right, in my opening statement. So it says, labor not to be rich, cease from mine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thy eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings and fly away as an eagle towards heaven. I've seen these things. Now, for a time, I'm going to give you one little good story, kind of negative, amen. Hey, the gospel's negative. Christ died, negative, for our sins, negative, buried, rose again. So the gospel's negative. I got some good stories here. Okay, so let's apply some good stories here. A lady named Nancy. And this is a kind of a sad situation at first, but ended good. She called us in, and her husband and her owned a roller skating rink. And I mentioned a town. It was in Crook County. Mike would know where it's at. A corrupted town. And he got some real rare disease where his body just froze up. And all he can do is eat, sleep, and go to the bathroom, a little kid. They had to move his hands. I was kind of real sad. So obviously, he couldn't do the roller skating ring. She's caring for him. Now, she was a saved gal, but he was not. And he got saved somewhere along the line. And she's just caring for her husband. The town wanted that roller skating ring for that building. And what they did, they burned the thing down. You know, arson. She did not, she left the insurance slap. She was not sure. That thing went down. They also had, back in that day, this is my generation, you can buy a roll of coins and find some silver coins in there back in the 70s, 70s, 60s, back in the day. And so he had a roller skating ring. He would save silver dollars and silver health dollars. They would save them. They had a giant trunk. I mean, a major trunk of this. She told him to bring it downstairs to the basement to crack the step. It was so heavy. And she threw a blanket over it. And now she's spending all her, she called us, I couldn't do anything because he was already incapacitated. Couldn't get him to sign any documents. So what happened is she's just spending her money to take care of him. Some of her friends go, divorce him. You can divorce him. Take half. But she wanted to hang in there. She stood in there and cared for her husband and spent everything they had, pretty much her house left, little house left. And he'd passed away. And before that, she had two caregivers. And the caregivers went, Nancy, just go away for a week, take a break. And she did. When she came back, one of the caregivers quit. And the very next week, she went in the basement. Guess what was missing? The treasure of silver. The last thing she had, boom. And, you know, she called the police, but they had to prove things. And, you know, she just, that's silver? Why, Nancy's gone? It's mine. The typical people today. So now she's down to nothing. So a year go by, he calls and he goes, Tim, come on over. I want to talk to you. I want to do some financial planning. I'm like, financial planning? You're as poor as a church mouse, man. I'm thinking, but I'll come by and see her. She was a friend, a sister in the Lord. So I was over there and see her. And she goes, well, you may not have known this, Tim, but while I was caring for my compassion for my husband, I cared for my other sister. And she had four sisters. And she cared for one. She was real sick. They're married. And she went there all the time, seeing her. Well, the other sisters wouldn't give her time of day. People more important, possessions. Well, when she passed away, or when she was gone that week on vacation, she came in and did a trust and left all her money to Nancy. And so she got over $1 million. This is back in the 90s. And I go, man, it's like, you're like a little story of Job. Went from nothing, and she goes, I wrote it, she's crying. I wrote a check for a Saturn car. It was 11, I don't know if it's Saturn or Solana anymore, Saturn company back in the days, for $11,000. Her car was 20 years old. I'm like, Nancy, I'm so happy for you. She's still alive, she's 90. She's way up in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. She's in her way 90s, and she still is still hanging in there. So, you know what though? The verse is on this. What man is he that desireth life and love many days that he may see good? Psalm 35, he loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of goodness of the Lord. Always do what's right. Amen? Deuteronomy 13:18, when thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God and keep all the commandments which I command thee today, do which is right in the eyes of the Lord. And Bob Jones Sr. said, he says, it's always right to do right. You hear that saying? It's always, young folks, it's always right to do right. James 4:17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. Now, in closing, we'll read a couple verses here and close this here. Hebrews 9:15-17. For this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For whether a testament is, there must also be necessary the death of the testator. For the testament is not in force after men. The testament isn't in force after the men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength in all which the testator liveth. Well, we live under the age of grace. And you see, the testator is Jesus Christ. Amen. And when, hey, what though? And that, what he left us is, we have that gift of eternal life. But for my clinical class, there's an inheritance, folks. That inheritance is something we earn. Get that? You have a bunch of kids. I have many kids who disinherit their kids because they're brat kids. Or they do some structured payments because they're not good monies. That's why. And God looks upon it the same way, folks. You serve the Lord down here, man, there's some inheritance rewards you're going to get. You get that? I mean, we're saved. We're a child of God. You're saved today. You're a son of God, a daughter of God. I'm a king's son. You're a king's daughter, if you're a lady. Amen? But there's some things there, some principles here you ought to do. 1 Peter 3:5-7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's salvation right there. Comma, to an inheritance uncorruptible. See, between those commas, a lot of times, there's stuff going on. Sometimes 2,000 years, a dispensation is between those commas right here. To an inheritance uncorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. That's the judgment seat of Christ. Get that, folks? So the biblical thing is, hey, it's a biblical thing to do these things. And here's God's telling me what to do. Here are some practical things. Amazing thing. All right. So folks, in closing, hey, you can learn some things here from the Word of God. It's alive. It's true. And when they're applied to your life, man, God likes that. God likes that. You're someone after God's own heart. I want to do what's right by the Word of God. Follow His Word. God likes that. God will bless that. And on all our endeavors, let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I just drew some things here together that I've experienced off the years that maybe I can use some of these things to help some folks out today. I don't know all these people real well, Father, but if they need some help in some of these areas, Father, may they responsibility and authority and being stewards and what their duty is, let them look into the Word of God and guide by the Holy Spirit, Lord, and maybe they can do some things, especially with the relationship with you, the responsibility we have with you, and getting some inheritance. Millennial reign is a long time. Amen? And you know what, though? And some things that we do down here, this is a dressing room for eternity. May we be good stewards. Will you trust us with our time and our resources, Father? So I just pray in closing that you bless this time. I don't know if anyone's saved, not saved here today, but if you're not saved, get saved. Amen. And we thank you for all you've done. And we ask that in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing what number?